Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 14. We're going to look at three verses here. We're going to come back and read several of these verses all in a row, but I want you to see something. Romans chapter 5, verse number 14. Nevertheless, what's the next word? Death. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. To reign means that you are in charge. You are the king. You have the throne. You are the one that makes the laws. You're the one that makes the rules. Everybody bows down to you. You're the king. In this case, death was king. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him that was to come. Look at verse number 17, Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. We know who that is. It's talking about Adam. Adam offended, Adam sinned, Adam disobeyed. In my Sunday school class this morning, we mentioned this. God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil right in the middle of the Garden of Eden. Isn't that interesting? He gave them a choice. God gave Adam and Eve a choice, and they chose to sin. And because Adam sinned, the Bible says death reigned. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Look at the verse now, Romans 5:17. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You got two words there that are contradictory. One is death and one is life. By one man's offense, death reigned. But if you look towards the end of the verse, shall reign in life. The exact opposite. By one, Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 5, verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death. Sin is reigning now. Sin is king. Sin is the one that tells us what to do. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Death and life. Which one is reigning? Which one is king? Well, the title this morning is Death's Reign is Over. Death's Reign is Over. President Wilson received a call in the middle of the night from a civil servant, and one of the servants, he informed him that one of his appointees had just died. President Wilson had appointed somebody into a position of office. The man died in the night. Somebody else called him and said, he's dead. The guy who called him said, well, I'm sure we're all saddened by this news. I would like to know if I could take his place. Right? Not waiting any time, just asking right away, can I have his position? Can I take his place? There was a pause at the other end of the line, and the president, President Wilson, replied. He said, it's all right with me if it's all right with the undertaker, if you really want to take his place. Okay, that was supposed to be a joke. We'll move on. Death. Death is something we don't usually think about seriously until it affects us personally. We don't really like to think about it. But what I want to share with you this morning is that it's okay to think about it, and there's nothing to worry about because death's reign is over. I was out soul winning one day and knocked on a door, and an 87-year-old lady answered. We started talking. Turns out she was already saved. And I asked her, I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? And she said, I'm ready to go to heaven, but I'm not gassing the bus up yet. That's what she told me. We don't usually think about death seriously until it affects us. When it affects us personally, maybe it's a funeral. Maybe it's somebody that we love that we've lost, and that's when we think about it. We all do think about it at times. We generally tend not to. We don't want to. Death is something that every one of us knows that we must face. We all know that we will die. Okay, so welcome to church. let me encourage you this morning, all right? We all know this. It's something that it's a fact of life. When our children write reports about the lives of famous people, they're required to include the person's date of birth and the person's date of death, because we all have those. We have sayings like, nothing in this life is guaranteed except death and taxes. And some people manage to evade taxes, but nobody evades death. Famous writers through history, even like Shakespeare, would even write about death. Death is the worst thing that most of us can think of. If you were to think of anything, what would be the worst thing you could think of and write it on a list, speaking in front of people's up there, but death is the one thing that we don't like to think about. It's the worst thing we can think of. When a soldier dies, we say, what? He paid the ultimate price. It's the worst thing. For the 20th anniversary of Larry King Live, Barbara Walters was interviewing him and asked Larry King, "Larry King, what is your greatest fear?" Without hesitation, Larry King replied, "Death. My greatest fear is death." The Bible teaches us that death didn't always reign as king over the lives of men and women. It wasn't always like this. God created people to live without the fear of death. If you go to Genesis chapter 3 with me, I want you to see just a picture of this. Adam and Eve, living in the Garden of Eden, God had created this amazing planet, but on this amazing planet that He created, the Bible said God planted a garden eastward in Eden. In this amazing planet that God had made, and He created in 6 days, and then in that he planted a special place. He put Adam and Eve there, and He allowed them to live there. I was thinking about this the other day, and we all tend to think differently about this picture here. I almost always fall off the steps right about here. I need to scoot back. We picture this Garden of Eden. We picture Adam and Eve living there, and we don't have any more details. So you picture what, living under a tree, living next to the creek. I don't know what you picture. I hadn't really thought about it a whole lot. It's normal for people to live in houses. I don't know. Maybe God also made them a house. I don't know this. We don't have any details about this. We just know they're living here in the Garden of Eden. There's no sin. They were never going to die. When God created Adam and Eve, by the way, they're the only ones people would say that didn't have belly buttons, right? I mean, everybody else has a belly button because we were born, but some people say they don't. I think they do, because whenever God was done with them, He said, "You're done and you're done," and He poked them. Yep, just right. But here they are in the Garden of Eden. There's no sin. There's no death. It didn't take long for death to come on the earth. We understand that. But God created Adam and Eve to live forever. They would have never died. Had they have not sinned, they would never die. They'd still be here today. Now, Adam lived to be almost 1,000 years old. We don't know how old Eve lived to be, but he lived to be almost 1,000 years old. But he wouldn't have ever, he would be, I would think, about 6,000 years old had he not sinned. I think he would have grown old without the effects of sin. God created man to live forever with Him, to spend fellowship with Him forever, like it's going to be in heaven. That's the way God created us to be. He didn't create us with a fear of death or a knowledge of death, because death just didn't exist. The Bible says, because of sin, death came into the world. There wasn't such a thing as death. And then in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, sin comes on the scene. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." There's the mention of death. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." As far as I can understand, nothing had died yet. Try and explain that to your kids. We don't touch that electrical socket because you'll die. They don't know what that is. Eventually, as life goes on, they start to understand. People die, pets die. They start to understand what death is. But in the beginning, they have no clue. Telling Adam and Eve, "Don't eat that or else you'll die," they knew. I don't know that they comprehended all of it. And it wasn't just dying physically, it was more than that, it was dying spiritually, which we understand here. But the serpent comes, I believe, influenced by Satan, and tells, first of all, questions Eve. "Well, what did God say?" He gets Eve to question God's word, and then he denies God's word, he changes God's word. That's still happening today, by the way. The devil's still questioning God's word, still changing God's words, and still denying God's words. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." So God said, if you eat this fruit of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Satan said, or the serpent said, "You will not die, but you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. Look what God's keeping from you. If you'll just disobey God, if you'll just do your own thing, your own way, it'll actually be better for you. You'll have more knowledge. You'll be as gods. You'll know good. Your mind will be opened if you disobey God. It's okay. Go ahead and do it. You're not going to die. They took that bite of that fruit. None of us knows what happened right at that moment. But the Bible says their eyes were opened. Something happened. All of a sudden, they knew they had disobeyed. They realized, if you continue reading, they realized they were naked. They felt ashamed. They died spiritually. We're created a body and a soul and a spirit. The body is the part that you see. The soul of you is your decision maker, like a computer has a processor that makes the decisions or processes the information, if I can say it that way. You've got a body, you've got a soul, but you also have a spirit. Your spirit was made to live with God, communicate with God. At that moment, Adam and Eve's spirit died. They didn't fall over dead, but their spirit died. Now they can't communicate with God. Now they can't have this relationship with God. They died. Sin brought death into our world. Look down to Genesis chapter 3 now, verse 19. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. They sinned. God finds them hiding in the garden. And verse 19, God gives them this curse. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto the dust shalt thou return. You came from the dirt, and now that you've sinned, you will die. You're going to go back to the dirt. Isn't it interesting that people, all the different shades of colors of people, resemble all the different shades of color of dirt in the earth? Isn't that an interesting thing? I don't know why, just kind of an observation. But because of sin, and by the way, let me just say this because I mentioned that. We are all one race. God created the human race. That's all. And if you look at how the different colors all turned out, the Tower of Babel, people separated up, and you get, if you were to take a box of crayons and take three colors out and put them over here, three colors out, put them over here, three colors out and put them over here, you're going to end up with colors that are a little bit different than all the other colors, because as people started separating out across the world, you just have that to work with. But God just created one race, and this race sinned against God. Sin brought death into the world. And because of death, because of sin, all would die. And death passed upon all men, the Bible says, for all have sinned. Now, go down to Genesis chapter 5. See, once the human race sinned, death became a dreaded household word. Before Adam and Eve sinned, nobody ever said the words, "He died." It didn't ever happen. Okay, so there's nobody else to say those words, but it would have never happened had they not sinned. Some religions will teach you that it's a good thing. The Mormons will teach you this. The Mormons will teach you it's a good thing that Adam and Eve sinned, because if they wouldn't have sinned, there wouldn't have been a Cain and an Abel, and the race wouldn't have continued, and the earth wouldn't have been populated. That's a false teaching, and says that it was a good thing for their sin. No, I believe God had a plan. Without sin, the earth would have been populated, because He told them to populate the earth. So that was part of the plan, but they sinned. Before they sinned, nobody ever said, "He died." I hate those words. I absolutely hate hearing those words. It's the one reason I didn't want to become a pastor. You know, there's a lot of reasons. If I'd have known then what I know now, there's more reasons than the one. But the one reason I didn't want to be a pastor, I didn't want to do a funeral. Scared to death. Scared of death. I hate those words. I hate when somebody calls and says, "This person's died." Before Adam and Eve sinned, nobody ever said that. It didn't come out of people's mouths. Nobody had ever died. But after they sinned, every family has heard those terrible words. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Chapter 5, verse 8, "And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." You see the pattern. Genesis 5, 11, "All the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died." These guys lived forever long, but they still died. Genesis 5:14, "All the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died." Genesis 5:17, "And all the days of Mahalalel were 90 and 5 years, and he died." Genesis 5:20, "And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died." We read this, and we think, wow, these guys lived a long time. You can't even imagine living 900 years. Living 90 years, we're old. Multiply that times 10. I mean, if you're 90, you're not old here today. Sorry. If you were 900 years old, you would be old. But every one of these verses end, "And he died, and he died, and he died." Chapter 5, verse 27, "The oldest man we have record of living in all the days of Methuselah were 960 and 90 years, and he died. Look at chapter 5, verse 31. Well, we're going to look at that, but we're going to move on. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. There's a chance, I think if I did my math right, that he may have died in the flood. All the days of Noah were 950, this is Genesis 9:29, 950 years, and he died. Now go to Romans chapter 5 again. This is where we're going to be for the rest of the time. Romans chapter 5. You see that sin brought death into our world. If it hadn't been for sin, there would be no death. From Adam until Moses, we read this, God gave the law, and even beyond that, but death reigned. Death was king. There's a billboard up in town that says cash, because cash is sometimes still king. Have you seen that? Nobody uses cash. I mean, hardly anybody uses cash. Some of you do. Less people use a checkbook, right? But if you're one of, you know, the millennial generation, like us young people, right? Us young people. Whenever you're one of us young people, you use less cash. There's a sign that says sometimes cash is still king. In this case, death was king. Death reigned from Adam all the way through. The law was given. But look at chapter 5 of Romans, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Chapter 5, verse 14 there in Romans. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. And we know from history that death continued to reign. If you look around, you might be persuaded that death still reigns. But that is where you would be wrong. Because while death is still an event that occurs in the life of every person, death is no longer king. And that's the message I want you to get here this morning. We're going to take a few moments on this. Yeah, death still happens, but death is no longer king. All right, jump in here with me. Death's throne was destroyed when Jesus Christ gave up his own life in exchange for yours. The only man who could say of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," died. He said, "I am the life," but he chose to die. And through death, he conquered what? Death. Through death, he conquered death. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Here we go. I'm going to point out some phrases to you, and I want you to see them. For when ye were what yet without strength, in due time, here you go, Christ died. When you were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. For, look at chapter 5, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, look at this one, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, look at this, Christ died for us. Sin came into this world, and because of sin, death reigned. And so the Bible says, for a righteous man, some would die. For a good man, some would die. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died. The way, the truth, and the life died. So look at verse 9. Much more then, look at this phrase, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Look at verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, look at this, we shall be saved by his life. Isn't it interesting that you've got death and life, death and life, so many times right in the same passage? So the way, the truth, and the life became death. He conquered death. He became sin and suffered death. And he won the victory over death so that we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Look at verse 15, Romans 5, 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. This is called a contrast. As you look at these verses, there's death and the reasons for death and the consequences of sin and the problems with death, but also you've got the blessings of life reconciled to God, who saved us by his life. We received the atonement, so also is the free gift. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if, look at this, through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. And listen to this, by the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift, for judgment was by one to condemnation. Look at this, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Death and life, the gift of life. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, look at this now, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. One man brought sin and one man brought death, that was Adam, but because of Jesus Christ, one man, there is life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience were many made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, verse 20, that if the offense might abound, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, I love this, that grace did much more abound. Therefore, I'm sorry, verse 21, that as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Isn't this an amazing thing? By Jesus Christ our Lord. Every time we're mentioning death in here and the punishment of death and the reasons for death, but every time we're talking about death, you've got eternal life. You've got atonement. You've got redeemed, as we talked about, we sang this morning. So now we can say with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, death is a fact of life, but because of Jesus Christ, eternal life. I didn't set that up right. Because Christ reigns, eternal life is available. Think of this. Death used to reign, but now death is just an event. I found a poem, and I'll read it to you just a moment. There's a story. I've told this story before. This may be my favorite story to tell, but and because of that, I tell it a lot. But a dad and his son were driving their own old farm truck down the old farm road. The boy sitting next to his dad is deathly allergic to bees. If a bee stings him, he's in trouble. And they're riding along, and they find out there's a bee in the truck with them. And the bee's buzzing around the truck with them, and the boy gets scared, and he kind of gets away from the bee, and the dad gets scared and doesn't know exactly what to do. The boy's allergic to bees. The father quickly reaches out and grabs the bee and squeezes it in his hand. And the boy thinks, phew, thanks, Dad. But then the dad lets the bee go. And the boy gets scared again. And because the bee is buzzing around the truck cab again, he gets scared again. And he said, Dad, why'd you do that? And Dad says, son, there's nothing to worry about now because look. And he showed him his hand, and in his hand was the stinger of the bee. Son, there's nothing to worry about anymore. I took the sting of death. That bee can buzz around in here all he wants to, but he can't do anything to you. He doesn't even have a stinger. Dad took the stinger. This old poem, death meets his match. Some old words in here be good for you. Stretch your brain. Father Time met Pale King Death sitting by a tomb. Hello, old friend. I guess you're here to seal somebody's doom. You might say that, sly Death replied. A smile slid up his face. Inside reposes that Jesus man who said he'd save the race. And you, Time, why are you stopping here? Don't you have things to do? I come each day to draw the veil and let the morning through. Say, why are you watching just one grave with all your vast domain? Looks like you'd be out rambling around and smiting folks with pain. Well, this one's something special. He challenged me, they say. Said he'd rest here just 3 days, then stir and walk away. Now, I'm the conqueror, you know. They don't talk up to me. When I step in to cut them down, it's for eternity. I sure can testify to that, responded Father Time. I ain't seen one shake off the dust since you've been in your prime. Well, I got other things to do. I must be on my way. I'll see you when I come back by to make another day. So whiskered Time went up the hill to bid the sun to rise. He left Death standing by the tomb, looking strong and wise. Next day, Time ambled by again. And how are things, he queried. Kind of quiet, Death replied. I'm starting to be wearied. I won't be here when you come by about this time tomorrow. I'm anxious to be on my way and spread some grief and sorrow. Now, Father Time was quite surprised when he came back to see Death a-quivering on the ground in frightful agony. His eyes were set, his throat was marked, his clothes in disarray. It wasn't difficult to see that Death had had his day. What happened, Death? Asked Father Time. What makes you look so bad? I've never seen you shake this way or seem so scared and sad. Death pulled himself upon a rock, a looking sick and humble, hung his head and wrung his hands, and time can hear him mumble. Was sitting here before the dawn, about to take my stroll, when all at once this whole wide world began to reel and roll. That rolling stone jumped off the door and skipped on down the hill. Then everything grew dark and quiet. Seemed like the earth stood still. I saw him standing in the door. He didn't speak or move or speak, just looked at me, and all at once I felt so tired and weak. He came and got a hold of me and threw me to the ground. He put his foot here on my neck, then took my keys and crown. Two angels came to talk with him. They glistened like the sun. He said, "The plan's all finished now. Redemption's work is done." As they passed the garden gate, I heard him say just then, "He's setting free my captives and giving gifts to men." Time and death met once again off yonder by the gate. "It's good to see you," said old time. "I've wondered about your fate. I'm just a lowly servant now. There's little time to roam. I just push open this old gate and help the old saints get home. I don't get to be in charge anymore." What is death? Death is no longer the master. Death is no longer the king. Death no longer reigns. All death is, he gets to open the door so we can walk through the gate to eternity, and that's it. That's all he gets to do. "Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Before he died, the great preacher D.L. Moody wrote these words: "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that is all, out of this old clay tenement to a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the Spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the Spirit will live forever." Listen, death's reign is over. You can take this message however you want to today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved. Because when you die, you will spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. But you don't have to. See, because Jesus died on the cross, you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear eternity because you can trust Jesus Christ. He paid the price for your sin. He gives eternal life. He won the victory over death and hell and over sin. You don't have to lose any of that. You could be saved today. You could trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today if you haven't already done that. If you're saved already, let me just encourage you. Death holds no fear. There is no reason to worry about death. There's no reason to worry about the future. I mentioned this already. Everlasting life started the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no worry. All death is, he's the guy that opens the gate and lets you through. I like to say it this way. Death is simply a door. I'm the same person on this side of the door and on that side of the door, but whenever I get to walk through that door, I'm with God. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He won the victory over death and hell. I don't have to worry. Father, thank you for this time together in your word. I don't know exactly why you put this message on my heart this morning. Maybe somebody needed it. Maybe there's one here this morning who's not yet been saved, and they still fear death. And they're still worried about what would happen to them after they die. Lord, I pray that today they would be saved. I pray that today they'd let somebody take a Bible and show them how they could be saved. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's just been worried, maybe concerned, maybe they've just forgotten that death no longer reigns. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts. Help us to remember this wonderful truth. Death is swallowed up in victory.